I greet everybody in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I try to do my best. My English is a little bit limited, but if somebody among you speaks more Hungarian than I do in English, please come and translate for me, because it will help me. But by the way, just to inform you that the heavenly language will be Hungarian. I don't know whether you knew it or not. And the reason why, because it takes a whole eternity to learn it, because it's a difficult language. For me, not, and for Hungarians, not, but for the foreigners, I heard it. It's really a privilege to be with you, and because I think that's my third or fourth visit here, and I met quite a few times Lenny in Hungary as well, and also a group who accompanied Lenny maybe 4 years ago, and it was a real blessing for me personally, and I have to admit to you that I learned from your pastor, because I realized that he is always willing to help. Actually, I consider myself also, that's partly my nature, my genetic nature, but when I saw Lenny in our home, he was always very quick and willing to help, and it was a blessing for me to see it, but my wife saw it as well, and he reminds me quite a few times that, you remember? Lenny was just jumping and helping, and so it's sometimes a challenge. But thank you, brother, anyhow. But thank you, anyhow. That's how we help each other to grow in the Lord, you know. So I wish to have my wife with me because she's a nice-looking lady. And we had a rendezvous recently in Indiana State, because she was at the UGLO, Women's UGLO celebration conference in Seattle, Washington, because she is the leader of the Women's UGLO in Hungary. And she was invited there, and we met in Indiana State, and we spent some days together at a family. And after I came here, and I am the guest of the Wright family, the younger Wright family, and the matured Wright family as well. So Jim Wright was so kind to flew me here this morning, and Mary Jane came, and also Robert came. And so it's a real blessing to have brothers and sisters all over the world, and we belong to one family, so it's just amazing to meet all God's children all over the world. As Michael announced at the beginning shortly about the recent events, what happened to us in my town, I really enjoy that now we have a good fellowship with the other pastors, including the Roman Catholic and the Greek Catholic, and two Reform, which is Presbyterian Reform pastors, and one Baptist, and me, and my wife as well. Actually, my wife is maybe the only one lady pastor, woman pastor in Hungary in the charismatic Pentecostal circles. And she runs the church today as well, so it is good. Actually, when she was out, you know what happened? I forget all the details, but basically she did always, and once she wasn't at home, we have had a baptism service, for example, and I was preparing for the message, and I diligently did it. And I forget all the other details, and we ended there that there wasn't music. And I forget the special scripture verses, what we should give to the people who were baptized. You know, I forget about everything because this was basically always my wife's job. So, and I realized, I need her help. So, it is good to work together as a couple in God's kingdom. As I mentioned you, so we have very good relationship with the other pastors in my town, and it's a real blessing because this was always my desire. We prayed a lot, and three new priests came, and probably that's why the connection started, because with the other ones I tried to get communicate, but so it wasn't an easy game at all. But these new priests, they are very willing to work together, and it's a real blessing. And we have very good feedbacks from the community that they saw the unity among us, and that we could work together, and it's a good. I think it's showing on some level God's love toward them, so it's a blessing for the whole community. In our community there was some change recently. A year ago we have had the local elections. As I understood, you will have it now. Everywhere I can see, vote for this one and this one. So I see all around. So you will have your local election now? Some type of election you will have. Yeah. So we have had our local elections a year ago, and the local government changed, and we have a new mayor, and I know him from his childhood, and he knows me. So, and it's very good. And the first time. The local government helped the churches financially as well, and these six churches, as I mentioned before, we received from the local government, each of us, $2,200 for that year. So that was the first time when they did it, so I'm very happy because it shows that the local government respects us. And it's good. So, I prepared with a message today, of course, I would like to ask some help to me to read the English Bible. Actually, first of all, I would like to, maybe Michael, could you help me to read the third verse of Jude, letter of Jude. It is just before the Revelation. And the third verse of that letter. Only the third one. Yeah.
I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints.
Thank you. So here is a scripture place which when Jude start to wake up the believers or want to warn them or exhort them to have the faith or fight for the faith or earnestly contain for the faith what was given once for the saints. And I was thinking a lot about this scripture place, why he wrote this. Actually, we find the explanation in that short letter why he wrote this for the believers. But we know that there are a lot of preachings about faith, and we need it very much, even though sometimes it is it goes to extremes. We have this problem here in Hungary, and I know that you have the same problem here as well. And time to time, really, it is too extreme. Before I jump into the serious issues, may I share a joke? Knowing Lenny, I think nobody won't be offended if I share a joke. So it is connected with the faith. The joke is that three believers are sitting on the bottom of the hell, and they are there, and one of it Catholic, and the other one is Baptist, and the other one is a real faith believer. And the Catholic says, "I don't understand why I am here. In the worst case, I should be in the purgatory and not here. So I don't understand why I am here." And the Baptist says, "I don't understand why I am here, because I was baptized when I was 13 years old, so I shouldn't be here." And the third one, the charismatic faith believer, says, "By faith I confess I am not here." So we can go extremes to extremes with the faith, but that's the base of our Christian life, and we have to teach, and we have to understand a lot about faith. And that's why I want to speak about this. The reason why I was dealing quite a lot about this certain Bible verse, because in my Christian life, so I am already 32 years old as Christian. I'm a little bit older than 32, but as a Christian, so I met Christ when I was 21 years old. Consequently, I am 53 now. And since that time I was saved, I saw quite a lot of things in the life of the Christians, and partly it was good, partly not good, and it is always warn us to conduct a biblical life and a godly life, you know, when we see a good example, as well as I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon concerning Lenny, or if we see some bad examples, we have to have the consequence that we commit ourselves much more than we did before. So that is always what we have at the end. When we see some problems or mistakes in others' life, the first thing is that I don't want to do it, the same mistake, so I have to do everything to avoid these things. And concerning this basic faith, what was given to the saints, there is another scripture place with in me it came together with this one. When Paul wrote to Timothy in the 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 says that I fought the good fight and I finished the race or the course and I kept the faith. And when I was a young Christian, I thought that it is a strange Bible verse for me, why Paul wrote that he kept the faith. It is so obvious that the faith is in us, and it will be always there, and it is strange at the end of his letter, actually his second letter, for Timothy, and he summarizes his life as well, so his own life, Paul, and also he gives intentions or advices to Timothy. And the most important thing he summarized, he condensed into this letter. And I was wondering why it was so important to write as a conclusion that I kept the faith. And as I was older and older in Christ, and I saw some lives in Christ's body, I was shown that some people did not keep the faith, did not keep their faith, and it touched my heart very, very deeply, because I would like to mention only two examples. One of it was the second pastor or the assistant pastor in our church where I was saved. And the other one was one of the main figure in the youth team where I was saved in. And I have had very good relationship with those two people. And I looked up them and I really respected them. And actually still I do, by the way. Somehow their life went to shipwrecked, or how do you say? I was just shocked about this. And both people was used mighty way by God. You know, the Holy Spirit worked through them in an amazing way. And for example, the younger brother who was part of the leadership of the youth team, he wrote at least 100 nice praising songs. Before he was saved, he was the member of a pretty famous Hungarian rock band. And he wrote amazingly nice worship songs. And he was one of the pillar in the youth team. And And I was shocked, and I wanted to understand how could it happen. And, you know, I pray for them, and I feel that I have probably a little role to try to turn them back to the Lord, toward the Lord, and I did already some steps. And, for example, I want to mention you the other brother who was the assistant pastor in our church. He immigrated with his family to Switzerland in 83, I guess. And that time we called it immigration. It was illegal that time to leave Hungary because we were under the communism that time. And I wanted to find out the reasons why did it happen to them. And my first visit in Switzerland was in 88, I guess, or 87, I don't know exactly. And when I went to Switzerland, because there was another family who was my host there in Zurich, and I called up evening time this assistant pastor, this former assistant pastor. I knew about him that he wasn't in good condition spiritually. And I called him up, and he was drunk, 9 o'clock at evening. And he was able hardly speak because he was so drunk. And he told me, "Oh, you came here to Zurich, and in Budapest we don't have this type of things what they have here, so I want to inaugurate you to the nightlife of Zurich." And So I thought, thank you, but maybe it's too late, or so, you know, I gave a polite answer, but I was devastating in my heart. How could it happen?
Sorry, I did not plan to cry, but it touched me very deeply. He was one of my faith heroes. And that's why I started to find out what caused this for them, you know, to fell away from faith. How could it happen? We entered into the kingdom by faith, believing in Jesus Christ. That's how we entered, and that's how we became sons of God, by grace of God through faith. That's the only way. There is no by acts, but only by faith. And I saw that in the life of these two people, and I saw some other examples, unfortunately, but I saw a lot of good ones as well, I tell you. But it touched my heart very deeply, and I searched the reasons, and I find out some. I don't say that I know the complete answer for this, but I find out some reasons, even in the, of course, in the Bible. And this is what I want to share a little bit about, because pretty often in the letters we find some scripture places which warn us to keep our faith and firmly stuck to the knowledge what we have in Christ, and firmly grab and hold our inheritance in the heaven and what we have in Christ. We have to do efforts, even though it is by grace of God and by faith, but still we have to do some certain issues, some things. And as I mentioned you, that we entered into God's kingdom by faith. And it is written in the Bible that without faith it is impossible to please God. It is, you know very well, probably the Hebrew letter, chapter 11, verse 6. And when I was thinking about this, I don't have very often so-called visions or pictures what I see. God guides me other ways, but as I was praying about this, and also in generally about the condition of the Hungarian church, the body of Christ in Hungary, I saw a strong beam, a wooden beam, and I understood that these are the individual believers who confess that they believe in Jesus Christ and they have eternal life. So I suppose if I ask you, well, I ask you now, I don't suppose I ask you, who knows surely that has eternal life? Who knows it among you? Almost all of you put your hand up, because you have this assurance in your heart, and that's good, because our soul witnesses according with the Holy Spirit that we are sons of God, and we have inheritance in Jesus Christ. So that's the best thing what we have in our earthly life. And understanding this vision, I understood that that's our confession That's the strong beam that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and once we believe in Him, we have eternal life. And that's the strong base of our, or the foundation of our life. And you know, and later on, I was thinking about this vision, about this beam. Okay, it means that our faith and belief in God and Jesus, that's the strong beam. But how it is connected with my problem, why I was really praying, let God explain me how could it happen that some people fell off from the faith. And God started to show me how does it work practically, the details of your faith, of our faith, of the faith of Christ's body, how it works in the everyday life. And I found that, you know, a beam is, I saw some beams in Jim's garden, because he is under remodeling his house. And these beams were saturated with a special chemical liquid which protects the beams from termites and fire and mold. So, and it gives a protection to the beams. But I saw, sometimes I was working in the construction business a little bit, and I saw some old roof structures where you saw the strong beams, so it seemed they were strong, huge beams, and but they were broken because the termites eated it from inside, and it weakened and weakened. It did not happen one night, you know, but it happened through decades, slowly. And so God gave me this picture that in some believers' life, it seems that their confession is strong, that I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But there are a lot of termites around, and maybe they are, their beams is not really saturated with protecting liquid, actually the living water. I want to mention some practical issues. For example, we Christians very often we find that we are ready to complain about things. Simply complaining, you know. Complaining the weather, complaining the political situation. I know you have a lot of problems here. We have more. Complaining about the gas prices. In Hungary, 1 gallon is $5.50. So be happy. And our salary is lower than yours one. So we can complain about a lot of things. And these complainings, we give room for these complainings in our life, you know, and it's a part of a normal social conversation, complaining, because the people around us, they always complain about everything. And as Christians, we very often find ourselves in the same situation that we start to complain. And the Bible says that it is close, or it is the threshold of the murmuring, you know, complaining, murmuring. It's very close. And when we check the scripture, the murmuring is totally dangerous. Actually, that was the reason why a whole generation who came out from Egypt did not enter to the Promised Land, because they were simply murmuring, and they were they didn't want to believe in God's promises. They were just murmuring about everything what they were faced with. And these are termites, you know, who start to come into our beam, you know, and start to eat it. And there is another one, worrying about the things. Oh, how can I pay my bills? Actually, basically, it's unbelief, you know. It's unbelief, because I don't trust in God if I have always worrying, if I worry about everything, you know. And I don't know how can I make it, I don't know how, what could happen. And a lot of worryings all around in our life. And there is another termite which could weaken our beam. It is when we give up the chance that we could change. It doesn't seem that it is a big issue, but it is. If you give up that, oh, I tried hardly, I am Christian for 30 years, and I tried hardly to change on some areas of my life, and I didn't have success. Maybe God doesn't love me, or maybe, I don't know. We have a lot of excuses or explanations. But at the moment when we give up that we could change, it's total unbelief. But when we give up that other people could change, maybe it is even harder issue, you know, difficult issue, that when we see people and they were acting always, let's say, terribly, and we were praying for them, and we just give up, you know. And we say, oh, he never changed. He won't change. I think that's unbelief. That's unbelief. And let's say when we say that God is not fair, he doesn't treat me the way as he should be. I was shocked when I heard from matured Christians that they were complaining about God, that God wasn't fair with them. Job told, in the book of Job, we read that Job said that if he kills me, even I love him, or I don't know the English translation. Even if he kills me, doesn't matter. So, and concerning to God, actually. So he had this type of faith in God. And I heard from Christians that God is not fair with me. So that was their conclusion. And actually, the Bible says that that's the root of the bitterness. And it is very dangerous. Even there is a very special scripture phrase for this in, I don't know exactly, in the Hebrews letter somewhere in this 4th or 6th chapter, I don't know exactly, that the root of the bitterness can grow up and affect other people, not only the one who has bitterness in his heart. And we have to take care of this and watch these people who has bitterness in their life. And this is another strong termite, you know, which goes into our beam, you know, and start to eat from inside and weaken it. And there is another issue, envy. You know, be honest, please. Did you think sometimes that when God blessed someone else, you know, and you told that, God, I think you should bless me. He's a young Christian and he had a terrible life and he just was saved and you blessed him amazingly and I am here, 10 years old Christian, and maybe you forget about me or what happened. So you should bless me instead of him or her. Sometimes I had this thought, you know, in my heart, and but I caught this thought and I push it down, you know, and I don't allow this thought to rule my mind, you know. And there's an other very practical issue. If you don't give your tithes or offerings, we can have several reasons. Praise God, from the very beginning I became Christian, I understood this, even though in our church for a long time they did not teach about this issue because it was a hot issue. You know, the pastor did not touch this issue. He didn't want to hurt the people, or probably he did not have the revelation about this, that how important to teach the church about tithing and offerings. And it is unbelief, basically unbelief, because we say, oh, I can't pay my bills, and that's why I don't give my offerings or my tithes to God, because I can't figure out how can I make my monthly bills and all my expenses. And this is basically unbelief. And back to the previous point for a little bit, when I mentioned that we could be envy toward the people who were blessed by God and God forget about me, left me out. When we see the good favor or the prosperity of the wicked people. I have to tell you, I had some real problems with this in my heart, you know. In Hungary, unfortunately, the laws are not so precise, and there are always little gates beside the big gates. And basically, they left this way purposely because the actual government can play with the people, you know. And they say, okay, if you do what I like you to do, I give an explanation of that certain law which is good for you. But if not, I have the chance to give another explanation to that law. And I turn against you. So it's very evil, by the way. But that's the reason why in Hungary we have a lot of crime, basically. And a lot of crime who was made by, we call it Thai crime. That's the Thai, what I have. What, you call it white? Yes, yes. What lawyers does, you know, and I don't want to offend anybody if somebody is a lawyer among you. We have some Christian lawyers as well, so. But you know, for example, in Hungary, it's a big issue. A lot of people simply became homeless because on the papers, suddenly they found themselves that they are not the owners of the house, but they built it up and they were the owners because some tricky lawyers, they did it, you know. And they could it because of the loose laws. And so when I saw these injustice things, and I meet almost every day guys in my town, you know, 25 years old, driving a Mercedes, a black one, 600, you know, 600 Mercedes, you know, and it is blackened windows, you know, and they step out, you know, and they have golden chains everywhere, you know, 25 years old, you know, muscles like this. And they are drug dealers, basically. And, you know, they just live their life, you know, in a luxury way. And most of the Hungarian people, they struggle simply, you know, financially. And it wasn't an easy game for me to handle this issue in a biblical way. But when I read Psalm 73, when Asaph, how do you pronounce it? Asaph, who wrote the Psalm 73? Asaph, sorry. In Hungarian pronunciation, Asaph, so Asaph. He had the same problem. He saw the good life of the wicked people, and he was just complaining, and he did not understand this, and even he was almost rebellious against God, and he did not understand at all. But when he went to the temple and he was praying before the in the presence of God, he understood the whole situation. But until that time, he did not understand it, as he was just devastating and complaining. And so this, what I saw in my vision, you know, that we have this strong beam, which looks like to be strong, but maybe we have some termites in it. And if you count on this beam and you want to build into your house, you know, we are a living body and a living church as well. And if your life is used like a beam in this building, in God's building, it looks like it's strong because the measure is strong enough. But once the termites already have eaten big part of it from inside, it became weak and suddenly and unexpectedly could broke. And could break. And this was what I understood about these two people and some others as well, because I realized that in their life happened these type of issues, slowly by slowly. And it weakened them, and suddenly the strong beam just broke. And, you know, that's why it is always a warning for me to deal with these little things. It is, I say little, but that's the fight of the faith, you know, that in every small details, we have to fight the good fight of faith. And to keep our beam, our life strong, not just saying this, but in reality. And other people could count on us because our life is strong, our beam is strong. So now, if this message, even though, sorry, my English knowledge limits me, but I hope that you understand what I wanted to share with you. And if it touch your heart and you want to respond to God and you realize that on some area of life is already affected by infected by terms, you have some, not terms, you have some termites already, you realized termites, please come and we will pray for this. And if you repent and you get rid of it. You spray the termites with your faith. They will die, and your beam will be again healthy and strong. So please stand up, and if somebody wants to come here, we will pray briefly for him or her.